So what I'd like to do, we have a 4.5-minute video that shares a little bit about our testimony, where we're going. And then after that, I'd like to come up and kind of talk us through a PowerPoint to just really, it's more laid back, just to give you some information about the field. And really, we want, you know, I would spend the whole night trying to answer as many questions as you can ask. And if I don't know the answer, I'll just say Google it, or I'll try and get the answer. But if you think of any questions, please ask them afterwards. Any questions you think of from the video, if they're not answered in the PowerPoint, we will stay as late as we need to take as many questions as you have. So I'll go ahead and play the video. In 2018, my wife and I and our 9-month-old daughter flew into the Alaskan bush village Iliamna with Mike and Jeanette Clark in their mission plane. It was our goal to find out if the Lord wanted us to serve Him among the Yupik natives in Bush, Alaska through aviation ministry. In Iliamna and a few other bush villages, we spent the next 6 weeks learning how church planting, discipleship, and aviation outreach work in Bush, Alaska. During those 6 weeks working alongside the Clarks, we saw how the Lord is using their 15 plus years of ministry to build Christ's church in these villages. And we also saw the need for a missionary team to be established there in Iliamna.
Hi, we are the Houts family, Aaron, Rachel, Anna, James, and Malia. Aaron and I grew up in Christian homes where we were exposed to the gospel and gave our hearts to the Lord at young ages. We both attended the same small church in a farming community in upstate New York, where Aaron's dad is the pastor. Aaron attended Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, and graduated with a ministry and leadership degree. I graduated from BJU with a degree in music. Partway through Aaron's degree, we were married, and the Lord blessed our home with 3 children.
Since our time in Alaska, the Lord has continued to give us a burden for the people in Iliamna and the surrounding bush communities, and we believe He has called us to serve Him in this unique place. In 2021, we joined Baptist Mid-Missions, and we are benefiting from their 100 years of missionary experience. During our time in Iliamna, we observed the current church plant ministry there, Iliamna Baptist Chapel. We were able to help serve the church through Vacation Bible School, and the Lord used that to give us a love for the young people in the village communities. We were also able to serve through music ministry, preaching, and even some building upkeep. As we served in the church in Iliamna, our Lord burdened us for the village communities in the surrounding area where there is no consistent gospel outreach. Hundreds of these villages, including Iliamna, are separated from the road system and only accessible by airplane or boat. The Yupik people in these villages must hear the gospel of Christ, as many of them are deceived by the Russian Orthodox Church, which has influenced these villages for decades.
One of the villages in particular is the village of Leavelock. We were able to fly to the village and hold a Sunday morning service with a small group of women and children. The eldest native believer asked Aaron after the service if he was the preacher she had been praying for. After experiencing a strong burden from the Lord, Aaron knew the Lord was calling our family to bring the gospel to these villages.
Since childhood, I have had a passion for aviation and plan to finish flight training once we arrive in Alaska. Seeing how the ministry works in the bush, it is clear that being able to fly is a necessity for effectively reaching these remote villages with the gospel. One of our ministry goals in Iliamna and the other villages is discipleship with those who come to Christ. The instruction our Lord gave the disciples during His time on earth prepared them to lead the early church. We want to train future leaders for these small churches through scriptural instruction. Would you please pray for our family as we follow the Lord's calling for us? Please pray for the people in this spiritually dark corner of the world that still need to be reached with the gospel.
But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts.
Well, I hope that gave you some information. It's you know the feeling when you read through scripture and you read the same passages over and over again, and every time it seems like the Holy Spirit hits you with a new thought. As I listened to my wife read that verse at the end of the video, really I've heard that dozens of times. But for the first time, I sat there and I felt the weight of the words that we have been put in trust with the gospel. And it's not just my family and I, it's your pastor, it's all of you. The Lord calls us to be his ambassadors. But some information about Alaska. We are, Lord willing, working toward being in the bush. You've heard that a couple times. In a bush village, but I'd like to start with a small pet peeve of mine. It's not really even a pet peeve, it's just something that a lot of us don't realize. When we typically see the state of Alaska, it's on a map with the rest of the United States, and it's tucked in the lower left-hand corner right above Hawaii. And that's what we're led to believe the size of Alaska is. But Alaska is, it, as you know, it's the country's largest state. If you cut it in half, both halves will be the two largest states. And this picture isn't quite as clear, but I did want to show this picture. I don't know if you can see it, but there's a red dot at the top left where approximately where the video, where the village will be. And most of you are familiar with Anchorage. It's the largest city in Alaska. The village we will be about 200 miles west of Anchorage. So this picture, if you look in the lower right-hand corner, you'll see that little tail along Canada where Juneau is. And if you take the distance from that lower left-hand corner, it's the farthest east in Alaska. And if you go, there's another tail, it kind of makes a J to the left, the Aleutian Islands, that's all part of Alaska. The distance between the farthest right and the farthest left island is almost the width of mainland USA. It's a very large state. The population is surprising. There are 732,000 people, approximately, in Alaska. And if you take the population of New York City, it's about 8 million people. So that means you can take the largest state's population and fit it in New York State 11 times. New York City. So the person per square mile is a little bit different out there. There is a lot of wilderness. You know, Alaska is called the last frontier. That is very true. You can see in this picture, it's very close, almost scary close to Russia. It's only 55 miles from Russia. And up on that top corner where you see that yellow line in Russia, if you just follow that down to the right, you'll see where those two tips kind of come close together. And there are two islands between those two peninsulas. Those two islands are owned. One is Alaska, one is Russia. So really, they are just a few miles apart. But I believe there are 5 locations in Alaska where you can actually see Russia. So because of that, there is a very heavy Russian Orthodox influence in Alaska. The United States purchased Alaska from the Russians, but before that, when Russia owned Alaska, they sent all their fur traders over there. Alaska had a huge fur industry. They still do. But the Russian Orthodox Church also sent over a lot of their priests. Their priests went into a lot of these villages. They built churches. And even today, you saw a picture in the video, most of these villages do have a Russian Orthodox church, priest. And it's said that to be an Alaskan is to be Russian Orthodox. So, and it's really mostly within these small villages. Once you get to the cities, you have influence from all around the world. You'll have Buddhism, Hinduism, just like any large cities in America. But once you get to these small, remote villages, there is no gospel, true gospel influence. The majority of it is Russian Orthodox. And one of those influences, you know, it makes it really hard as soon as you get out into the bush in any ministry. The influence of a false religion, when that's all you're seeing as far as spiritual, you know, working there, whether it's the right kind of spirituality or the wrong kind, it can be very discouraging. And in many ways, it makes it a darker mission field. We're off the road system. The vast majority of Alaska and the communities in Alaska, I believe it's 80% of Alaskan communities, are off of the road system. And that makes a mission field harder. You think of missionaries in Papua New Guinea, where many of them are on the side of a mountain, and they have to, you know, they have to drive Jeeps or Toyota pickups to their villages, but they're off the main road system, and it makes things just a little bit harder. And one of the things that Mike and Jeanette shared with us is that you really, you know, in these villages, you feel like you're on an island with 300 people. The population of Iliamna is about 175. And then there's a village right next to Iliamna where they kind of combine their population. And between the two, it's about 300 people. But you really do. You feel like, you know, we were there for 6 weeks and we just felt completely disconnected. It didn't help that we had no cell phone reception. But you feel like you're on this island with the people in the village, and that's it. Certain times a year, travel gets a little bit easier. But in all these villages, you're cut off from a lot of travel. And missionaries do struggle with this, you know, this idea of being cut off. Mike and Jeanette have struggled with that, and they've been very open with us about that. But the encouragement is most of these villages, they do have pretty modern living conditions. They're not living in igloos. They do have modern homes with fiberglass insulation. Just a lot of times they have twice as much insulation as we do. That's kind of a out of the ordinary living situation. We were able to help build. It's called a yurt. I believe it came from somewhere in Asia, this style of living from Mongolia maybe, and then the Russians kind of adopted it, and now it's kind of a modern day igloo in Alaska, and you see them in other places in the country too. But we were able to help a school teacher who was going to make roots in Iliamna. He ordered this yurt. It was shipped to Iliamna, and we were able to have a ministry with this man. He's unsaved, and Mike has a background in construction, so we were able to go and help him build the yurt. And I'm not sure we will live in one of these. I don't feel completely closed off from the claws of grizzly bears in a canvas hut, but it seemed like a really neat thing that we could help with, and it was neat to experience that. One thing that the Lord used to give me a burden for this area, there were several times where Mike and I were able to just fly together, and we took his son down to the coast to go commercial fishing for the summer, and on our way back, it was just the two of us, And we took several detours. We flew over some villages, and this is one of them. And Mike would point to these villages, and he would tell me that they have never been reached with the gospel. And that was really hard to believe. It was just one more thing that made me feel like I was not in America. You don't think of people not being reached with the gospel in the United States. But there were dozens in this region and hundreds of villages in Alaska where there is no gospel outreach, at least consistent gospel outreach. And as you heard in the video, one of the villages we were able to go to was the village of Leavelock. I shared a little bit about that in my testimony this morning, and then you heard about it again in the video. And I don't mean to bore you, but just to talk about it again, because this is where the Lord really called us, or this was the time when the Lord really called our family and burdened me. But it was our time there ministering with just a handful of believing ladies and children who some of them have since then, that was 2.5 years ago, some of them have moved out of that village and they've actually moved to Iliamna. But Leavelock is, it's not as common of a village. In Iliamna, they have, I believe, about half a dozen lodges where they're owned by men who run a hunting lodge or a fishing lodge or a photography lodge. So you have more tourism coming in Iliamna, more people, especially in the summer during salmon season, and then in the fall during hunting season, people will come up, they'll fly into the Air Taxi, which is an aviation company there in Iliamna, and they see more influence from typical Americans. They see more people coming in. But nobody goes to Leavelock. It's pretty much overrun by bugs. When you go there, the Leavelock wave is when you're talking to somebody and you're just going like this because the bugs are just always around you in the summer. Part of that is the landscape. Actually, where we are in that region, there aren't very many mountains. You can see the mountains, but it's fairly flat from the air. It's tundra. It's kind of like walking on a big giant sponge. It's all moss, and there are gravel veins where they can cut down into the moss, find the gravel veins, and then they follow the gravel veins to make their four-wheeling trails to harvest some of the gravel. But that type of ground makes it almost impossible to travel over. Four-wheelers can't travel over tundra. We had our anniversary while we were up there, and it's the same day as Mrs. Clark's birthday. And to celebrate, what else do? You go for a four-wheeler ride. They don't have restaurants. So we went to a four-wheeler ride, and I won't say which one, but one of the four-wheelers flipped over in a hole that nobody saw. We went off the trail, and the tundra just completely hides all these big holes, and travel across tundra is almost impossible until it snows. The snow it covers a multitude of sins. And you can fly across tundra on the snow with snowmobiles. So Mike actually told us that if you have a warm winter, it's miserable because you might get snow, but the lake doesn't freeze. And if the lake doesn't freeze, you can't travel because they will actually plow roads across the lake. I didn't point out on the map, but Lake Iliamna is just south. The village is on Lake Iliamna, is what the village is named after. It's actually our country's largest freshwater lake, other than the Great Lakes. It's a massive lake, and in the wintertime, it'll freeze. And as you know, around here, water freezes very thick, and they plow roads across the lake, they travel across the lake. So in a good cold summer, people actually travel a lot more. And one of the biggest blessings that we've seen most recently in Iliamna is Mike and Jeanette have been able to raise the money to build a hangar. So Baptist Mid-Missions, our mission board, they own the airplane that Mike and Jeanette use. And since we'll be working with Mike and Jeanette, we'll share that airplane. But for the last 15 years, they've had to rent space from the Air Taxi there in the village to keep their airplane outdoors. So all that snow you see piled up in the picture, anytime they want to go somewhere, he has to shovel that off of the airplane. But just recently, the Lord really showed his hand in this ministry, and it was a feat that only our Lord could do. The Clarks were able to raise the money. There were work teams that came up from their supporting churches, and they were by the work teams. The work teams were able to be the ones to completely build this this commercial size hangar. And Mike has actually been able to use it to be a ministry. He has his mechanics license, and he's been able to rent some space in the hangar to people for a little bit less. And he can do inspections on the airplanes. A couple weeks ago, he told me that he has about 3 snowmobiles and 2 four-wheelers in the hangar right now that he's working on for people. And that's a ministry. The ministry there, in a lot of ways, is very hands-on. Alaskan people tend to be very relational, so it could take a long time before they really trust you enough to have a good conversation with you. But if you can help them, if we can do things for them and either not charge them or charge them very little to work on their four-wheeler, or the Lord's given me the opportunity to be an appliance technician for 4 years, and that's a skill that I'll take with me. And those are just tools that the Lord has given us to help us in this ministry, to do things to try and reach these people. And Lord willing, once we get up there, I will jump into aviation training. I have just a few hours of logged flight time. There's a ministry southeast of Anchorage called MARC, Missionary Aviation Repair Clinic. It's an aviation school where you go, you get your pilot's license, your mechanic's license, your instrument license. But they have a supported side. They have donors, a side of their ministry where if you are a missionary to Alaska, they'll put you through their program and they charge you much, much less than going through the full program. They have fully furnished apartments for you and your family. You can come and you can go through the program. They customize how long it takes because they know you have ministry, so you can come, go through their program for 3 months, go back to your ministry for 3 months, and you can do that on and off. So it's a very ministry-friendly school, and Lord willing, I'll get my private license in about a year once we get there and then work on my mechanics and instrument. It's a little daunting. I just finished college, 7 years of a bachelor's, and thinking about going into school like aviation school. I've really just had a taste of aviation school, and it is tough, but I'm really looking forward to it. And the benefit is I will be learning to fly in Alaska. And Mike said that it's probably one of the more dangerous places in the world to fly because of the landscape, the constant weather changes, downdrafts in the air that you can't see in your airplane. And learning to fly from people who've grown up in Alaska will be a huge benefit. But that's one of the immediate goals in my first term. Our first term as a family will be to get the aviation training that we need. And then, Lord willing, eventually we would love to purchase another airplane. The plane that Mike and Jeanette have is a family plane. It holds, I believe, 7 passengers, including the pilot and co-pilot. So it's not very good on gas. And for 1 or 2 people to just get in it and go to a village for a quick weekend of ministry, it's not very good on gas, so we would love to get a smaller airplane once I get my license to help with that. And this is where we lived while we were there. We stayed in one of the Sunday school rooms in the church building, the church building that Baptist Missions owns. And they own 2 church buildings. They own this one, and then they own one in the village of Leavelock. The one in Leavelock, as I've mentioned already, has been vacant for 20 years. But this church one of the encouragements that I found while we were there was seeing in other places of the world God's people come together for worship. And it wasn't just the people in the village, because the air taxi hires pilots during certain times of year to come up and fly for them during a busy season. The lodges hire pilots to come up and fly for them during fishing and hunting season. School teachers come during the school season, that they don't actually live there. They come up there from the States. And many of these people are actually believers. And you see them come to the church. We met a helicopter pilot from Germany while we were there. He was there flying. There's actually a mining company there in Iliamna, and he flew for the mining company. So we saw a saved man from Germany come. We saw men who professed to know the Lord from Arizona, from Texas. They came up and they flew in the summer. They would probably freeze other times of the year, being from Arizona. But they were very encouraging people. They knew the word. And it was really neat to see, out in the middle of nowhere, God bring his people together from other places in the world. And that's what we want to do. We want to go there. We want to not only help the Clarks in Iliamna, but one of our passions is to see the church and parsonage in Leavelock established again, if that's the Lord's will. There are other villages where the Clarks are able to have VBS once a year. Some of their churches send up basketball teams, where they'll hold basketball camps in these villages. And in the wintertime, basketball is the big thing. There's nothing to do in the wintertime other than go to the local basketball game. It's a huge sport in Alaska. So to have these basketball coaches come up and hold these basketball camps, it's a really good outreach. And the Clarks have been able to kind of get their hands in some of these villages to reach them with the gospel. But because of his full-time ministry in Iliamna, they're not able to have a very consistent ministry in these villages. And that's what our burden is, to have a more consistent ministry in some of these villages. And our last slide is our prayer requests. This is our biggest favor to ask from all of our churches, to please pray for us. Please don't get a headache trying to read the words in the background. I put that there just for decoration. That's just the back of our prayer card. But really, as we're on deputation, we do ask that you pray for our travel safety and our vehicle. So far, we have not had very many of those annoying little lights come on our dash. We've had a few. We have one light that's on that I'm not worried about. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm trying to ignore it. We have one issue with a little bit of an oil leak coming from one of our valve cover gaskets. I'm not worried about that. A little oil under your vehicle is good for your car in the wintertime. But just pray that the Lord keeps our vehicle running. And then secondly, my wife and I, have a heart that our children enjoy this time in our lives. We don't want them to have a distaste for ministry because of dragging them to different churches all over the place. So we really want them to enjoy it, and they are. They really are. You should see them in the Love's house playing with toys that they've never seen. Anna does very well with new people, with new faces. James, not so much. He's a little more clingy. But we really want them to enjoy this time, and then obviously to enjoy the life that the Lord has called our family. And then we pray for good connections with churches, with the pastors, with the church families, with the church leaders. We're spreading what the Lord has called us to do. And one of our hopes is that in turn you will actually have a burden for Alaska. Whether or not you can ever go visit Alaska, we would love to see you come to Alaska and enjoy some fresh sockeye salmon right out of the ice-cold Alaskan water. It is like nothing you've ever tasted. If you don't like salmon, it's because you haven't had fresh Alaskan salmon. But really, if you never make it to Alaska, we hope that the Lord gives you a burden for those people, the people who've never heard the gospel, and that the Lord would use that burden to put on your hearts to pray for us. And then the believers in these villages, particularly the village of Leavelock, I believe there are fewer than 3 believers in Leavelock right now. Some of them have moved. These villages are full of crime. There is no law enforcement in most of these villages. There are no police, no state troopers. So crime is very high in these villages, and it's a very dark place to be a Christian. Christians face a lot of pressure. Drug and alcohol abuse are very common in these villages. And so we pray for the believers in these villages, that the Lord would keep them faithful. And for the unbelievers, there are open doors in these villages, and there are people who the Lord wants to reach, and we believe he will use us to do that. He's been using the Clarks. And we've mentioned the Clarks a lot. I don't have them on the list, but if you're writing these down, you can write down Mike and Jeanette Clark. They've been there for 15 years. They've been very faithful. They've raised 5 children there. They're now empty nesters. So just pray that the Lord would continue to encourage them and keep them faithful. Well, if you have any questions, that's the end. I would like to be done talking so I can give you all a chance to ask as many questions that are on your heart. There are 4 units. There are no longer any children, missionary children in Alaska. Mike and Jeanette were the last ones with children. The Clarks are also the only ones off the road system. The other 3 missionary units are in towns or cities. But they do get together about once a year. They have their own, you know, council between the Alaska team. Mike's the only pilot, so I think the other missionaries have more opportunities to get together because they are on the road system. But yeah, BMM has 4 missionary units there. Yes, ma'am. So we do get health care through Baptist Midmissions. We have a good health care plan through them. We won't actually get it, I think, until we're about 80% in our support. But they provide both health care and retirement. Most of the villages do have a health clinic where they'll treat emergencies. Jeanette is actually an RN. She went to college to be a nurse. And most of the villages, they have some form of health clinic, whether that's a big closet with first aid kits or whatever. But if there are any surgeries or anything that needs done, you have to fly 200 miles to Anchorage. Unfortunately, no. When we were there during salmon season. So I got my fishing in, but I haven't been able to do any hunting there yet. That is, that's a need. That's a must up there. That's the culture there. It's still the culture. It's a subsistence lifestyle. They fish for their meat. They hunt for their meat. It's something all the men do during hunting season. So I'll just have to bear that, and no pun intended. I have hunted since I was 14 years old. I've gun hunted, bow hunted, and the Lord has never seen fit to gift me with any of his creatures. So I hope that the first one is in Alaska. I'm still going to try, though. Yes.
So you want to eventually settle in Leavelock, but would you go out? Would that be like an itinerant ministry then for you and Rachel? Would you go like
you know, some of this is still up in the air with what our strategy will be with the Clarks. At this point, probably our first term will be based in Iliamna with the Clarks. And then hopefully, you know, we'll see ourselves establishing the ministry in Leavelock. And then once that happens, we'll do the same thing the Clarks are doing now, where we will have a full-time ministry there with the people. But there are still villages that need to be reached. And, you know, we will still reach them a couple times a year with vacation Bible school or basketball camp or, you know, however we can reach them. So there are, I think there are about six villages right now where the Clarks have had ministries in around that area. And we'll keep, you know, within those villages until we can, until the Lord sees fit to build up some churches in those villages. Yeah. Ice cold. In the warmest time, ice cold. they are year-round glacier-fed. Lake Iliamna gets almost bearable in the wintertime. I actually love swimming in cold water. I went swimming about half a dozen times in the lake while we were there. And I really enjoyed it. After about half an hour, though, you start to get a little numb, so you have to go out. But, you know, all the rivers, all the streams, they're all glacier-fed. They're ice-cold year-round. There are some lakes, if you look at maps of Alaska, you'll see hundreds. There are hundreds of thousands of lakes in Iliamna. And there are hundreds of thousands, literally, of rivers in Alaska. And you have all these little those pools of water that aren't necessarily glacier fed, and they'll get a little warmer in the summertime. But all the big bodies of water, all the rivers, they're pretty cold. You can drink, as far as I know, you can drink out of all of them. Where we're going to be, the coldest it gets, I was texting with Mike in, I think it was the first week of January, it got to negative 30. That's about the coldest it'll get. The warmest while we were there, it got about 70. And we were there for, you know, the warmest time of the year, the end of June into July. Once you get up to Fairbanks and north of Fairbanks, the upper half of the state, you know, they have temperatures. Negative 30 is pretty typical, negative 40. They've recorded negative 60 up in Fairbanks before. Summers in Fairbanks actually get warmer than Iliamna. They'll have 80-degree weather. So it's just, it's strange the way it works, the weather there. But, yeah. Yes?
It's so weird about mosquitoes. I mean, I hear about mosquitoes in Alaska, which you would think they'd be in the jungles. But how do you alleviate the problem with mosquitoes? What do you do?
With the Leavelock wave. No. We used a lot of off while we were there. And it does work. You might grow a third ear, but it does work. They've used essential oils. Those work. And a lot of people wear the hats with the bug nets. Those obviously work. But honestly, you kind of get, it sounds gross, but you get used to them. And what you don't get used to are bugs called noceums. And they're called that because you can't see them until they're on you or in your ear, or they get, you know, they're really annoying little bugs, and you can't see them and smack them like a mosquito. So it's not just mosquitoes. It's gnats, noceums. None of the mosquitoes carry anything. I think it's too cold for anything to exist up there. So that's a plus. But, yeah, I think most of the people they do plant some things too that helps keep off the mosquitoes. But it's, you know, next to the lake you get a lot of wind next to Lake Iliamna, and that keeps the mosquitoes away a lot too. So Iliamna, you don't have as many as some of these other villages like Leavelock, where they don't have that wind, and it's just the moss in the tundra that just, they hold all the mosquitoes. No.
Yeah,
No, they've migrated. Yeah, it's only in June, July that you have bug problems. Yeah.
So if there's no roads, how do you get the four-wheel drive vehicles in and out of
it? On a barge. So I'll actually show, hopefully you can see this. The second map that I showed, there's a river that connects Lake Iliamna to the coast. Let me, hopefully you can see my pointer, but there's the lake, and then right down here is the river. We have a map out there that you can get close up and see it. A lot of the people have vehicles. They have SUVs, they have pickup trucks in a lot of these villages, and they get them there on a big flatbed barge. You pay a lot of money to have those things shipped there, but you can have them shipped to the coast, and then they get put in a big box, a big crate, and then they're sent up to the village on the river. It's the same with groceries. Grocery shopping in these villages is very unique. You do grocery shopping about every 2 months. You go to Anchorage, to Costco, you fill up 3 grocery carts full at Costco, and you have to pay 70 cents a pound to have those groceries flown into the village. And, you know, that's a lot of money, 70 cents a pound. So we really, you know, we're planning on trying to do as much as we can. Gardening, and we're going to try our hand at that. I grew up gardening. I love doing it. It is a little more complicated when you have a mossy terrain. But hunting, fishing, whatever it takes. But the people have to pay a lot of money for groceries, for four-wheelers, snowmobiles, all those things. It's more complicated. It's more expensive. And it adds a lot. Yeah, you can get it fresh, but it won't last very long. And it's the same with vegetables. If you go to get fresh produce, you know, it lasts as long as you can eat it, and, you know, you really have no access to fresh produce. You do get milk. You freeze it. I actually grew up freezing milk. My mom always froze milk. She would pour a little bit out and freeze it, and it was fine. The Clarks get, we found it at Costco, you can get shelf-safe milk. They take something out of the dairy that makes it shelf safe, and they keep that. So, yeah, fresh things are kind of a luxury.
So what is your level of support set at? Where are you at right now? What is your projection?
Yeah, so Baptist Mid-Missions, we think wisely, require all their missionaries to have 100% support before they're allowed to go to the field. And right now, our support, we need to raise about $100,000 a year. 20% of that goes toward aviation. Not school, it goes toward the airplane. Airplane upkeep, flying, we have to charge ourselves for flying the airplane. We pretty much have to charge ourselves for keeping the airplane fixed. So 20% of our support immediately goes to the airplane. A lot of it goes toward 70 cents a pound of groceries. But we've been told the field team, the North America field team at Baptist Missions, got with Mike and Jeanette. They went through all these prices. We've met with the field team, and right now our support level is set at $100,000 a year. When I first saw that number, I was a little discouraged. But we believe in a great God. We know that He will provide. And as far as how long it takes, it's up to the Lord how long we'll be on deputation. The average that we've heard right now is about 3.5 to 4 years. We would love to be in Alaska sooner than that. I was sharing with the pastor that I would love to be moving, driving up through Canada with all of our stuff in the summer of 2024. But we'll see how the Lord works. So.
Is there an industry for the fishing? When we were there, they were stocking the rivers
The pipeline goes from Anchorage all the way up to Barrow. Yeah, there is a big fishing industry. Most of the fishing industry in Alaska is commercial, and it's on the southern coast. Yeah. No, because that number is always changing.
Yeah, it changes every year.
It changes depending on how much the state gets with oil.
Every resident from age one on up received $3,000. But 2 years prior, it was $10,000.
Right.
So you're right, it changes.
Yeah, a lot affects that. Oil prices affect that. The amount of oil affects that. How much they have to pay oil workers. Pretty much whatever the state makes on oil, a percentage of that is given toward the money they pay residents. And we do. They pay for every member in your family. They pay a certain amount once a year. It's a great non-scriptural incentive for us to have as many children as the Lord gives us. But, yeah, that is a – yes, ma'am. Yeah, you really, I mean, you have to go to the city for your doctor appointments to get prescriptions. You have to schedule times. I know with, for instance, if my wife has to, you know, give birth, we have to go to the city. I think it's a month before the due date. And you have to schedule doctor appointments. Any over-the-counter medications, it's the same as down here where you have to get your prescription. And then go to a local pharmacy and have it written out. Yeah.
You know, you talk about getting groceries and stuff, but many of the small villages that do have a small market, but I know the supply is sporadic. What kind of the village that you're planning to move to, what do they have there in the village?
They have candy bars for about $12 a piece. No, Iliamna, they do have two little stores. One doubles as the only gas station in the village. Yeah, they do have a few things. You go there, you get canned goods. They have freezers full of fish. But you don't shop there. It is so expensive. Yeah, it would be more expensive than paying 70 cents a pound. And they're very limited on what they have. It's very seasonal. I got my fishing license from one of those stores. They do sell license there, but yeah, it's more for an emergency.
So what will you be hunting? For all this in that area, what all is seen?
Most of the people in Iliamna, they travel to go on hunts. There was a bull moose that walked through Iliamna while we were there. We didn't see it. Mike said it probably wouldn't last very long. Because, you know, the natives would probably make short work of it even outside of hunting season if they did see it. But you would have to travel, especially for caribou, where the huge migrations take place. It's farther north, so we would travel for caribou. It's close enough to take your snowmobiles. That's what Mike does. He'll go on a long snowmobile ride with he'll haul all the sleds that he needs and try to shoot about two caribou and then pack them back. With a moose, you know, you're usually traveling a little bit farther to go out because moose, they don't pack in herds. They're very territorial. They kind of stick to themselves. So to get to a good moose area, you have to travel a little bit farther. Black bear hunting, you're going to be probably going closer to the coast to do black bear hunting. Wolf hunting, they do a lot of wolf hunting. It's actually, wolf hunting is one of the more expensive hunts, and I know that Dall sheep as well is one of the more expensive hunts. For a non-resident to hunt there, you have to either know someone in Alaska to take you, or you have to hire a registered guide to take on the hunts. And depending on what animal you hunt, you don't have a choice. You have to have a guide. Yeah. A large part of it will be aviation training. That's not necessarily the ministry that we'll be involved in, but that will take up a lot of our time. When we were there in the 6 weeks, I came out of the 6 weeks not really feeling like I just went through 6 weeks of ministry. I felt like I went through 6 weeks of living in Iliamna, and there were a handful of times where I really felt like I was ministering to people. The Clarks had an intern come visit them. He was studying to be a pastor, and he has a burden to be in Alaska. And he spent, I think, 8 weeks with them, and they were just doing the everyday things. And he told them, or he asked Mike toward the end of his 8 weeks, he said, "When does the ministry really start?" And Mike said, "You've been doing it the whole time you're here." Mike is the assistant fire chief of a 2-man fire department in Iliamna. That's his ministry. That's one of his ministries. If there is a fire, and there's surprisingly a lot of fires in Tundra, if a fire breaks out, he's going to the DOT building, getting in the fire truck, and he's going out and helping the people. He's working on their vehicles. He's doing evangelism, vacation Bible school with the children, Tuesday evening Bible studies. You know, these are things that, you know, he does pretty faithfully that I'll help with. Obviously, pulpit supply, Lord willing, I'll be able to help with. One-on-one discipleship with some of the men that have seemed like they've been growing a little bit more. I know there are 2 men that he's really focused on with discipleship.
So you're saying really building relationships.
Exactly. Building relationships with these people. It's not a ministry where you go and hope to see great achievements in 10 years. It's a lifetime of ministry in these villages before you. You know, and the Lord can work quickly there like anywhere else. But from what the Clarks have seen, it takes a long time to really get to where you can see growth in some people or desire to have a walk with the Lord. Anything else? Okay, well, I do have one more request. We have a sign-up sheet on our table over here for your emails. I'm not going to watch to see who puts their emails down, but I would love to get all of your emails. All that's going to happen is every couple months you'll get a prayer letter update from us right now on how deputation is going, our support level. Right now, I think we're roughly maybe at 3%, probably not quite at 3%, but you'll get updates from us once we get to the field, Lord willing. You'll get updates, ministry updates. So please put down your email for us to have. And if any more questions come to mind, feel free to ask either me or my wife. Hopefully one of us will be at the table the rest of the evening. Thank you.